Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy. I am blessed to be with you. And today, of course, we will have our beautiful Adele Finnegan back with us again. And she, of course, is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. I want to give you her website now while I'm thinking about it. Just go to www.prolifeunion.org. Again, www.prolifeunion.org. And waiting for Adele to call in. She should be calling in any moment. Once again, I just want to thank God for the gift of each of you. This Catholic radio apostolate would have been off the air long ago if it wasn't for people like you who believe in supporting the good news, who believe that the truth must always go forth, whether it's convenient at times or inconvenient. And I praise and thank God for each of you, for all of our family of listeners, all those that contribute monthly, all those that contribute whenever they can, and for all those who contribute, more importantly, by their prayers. Because it is those prayers. Maybe you don't have the ability to put anything in for a donation to be part of our circle of family and friends. Maybe it just aren't able to do that. And in these economical times, I personally can certainly understand that. But the bottom line is, you can pray. And if you would continue to pray for this Catholic radio apostolate, that God's word would go forth, and that we would continue to preach and teach all the truths of our one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that we would continue to proclaim the good news and the gospel of life. And to do that, we need your prayers. And many times it is through your prayers that enables others to be open. God uses the grace of your prayers to open the hearts of those who can support this Catholic radio ministry. So one is as important as the other. You need both. You can have all the money in the world trying to support, you know, keep something on the air. But that doesn't mean, all the money in the world doesn't mean that you can just do whatever you want and hope for the best. We need people that will continue to pray for this ministry, to underpin it with prayer and fasting and financial support. And without you, it doesn't happen. So once again, I praise and thank God for the beautiful gift of our prayer partners up there in Bensalem. That's the Sisters of the Most Blessed Sacrament up there. Again, without your prayers, it wouldn't happen. And then for all of you who give, sometimes your last mite. Sometimes those who tithe and they say, this tithe is going to you because we know where our money's going when we tithe it to your organization, because we know that it is all volunteer. And my brothers and sisters, I mean all volunteer. And so we need your support to keep us on the air. However, without you, there would be silence on this end. So although others hear my voice, what they're really hearing is the word of God's word, the teachings of his church, coming forth to you through inspiring guests that we are led to have onto the program, the pro-life message that continues to be loud and clear through this Catholic radio apostolate. And also, I will tell you this, that this Catholic radio apostolate handles your contributions in such a way that we make sure that you get your tax deductibles, literature, to make sure that, you know, you can claim that at the end of the year. But more importantly, we make sure that every single cent goes to keeping Catholic Radio on the air. We don't have salaries to pay. I don't get a salary. My volunteers don't get a salary. And John's out there smiling. He's emptying out. He's pulling his pockets out. They're all here because they believe in this Catholic Radio apostolate. And so I just want to praise and thank God for all the people that offer their help through prayer, through the beautiful gift of their services, and all the gifts of volunteerism that keep us afloat. I want to praise and thank God for people like Adele Finnegan, who gives of her time when she has so much on her plate, and gives her gifts to get the word out about the gospel of life and what's taking place. What is the news taking place, and bringing that to you. So all of us working together can accomplish the work that God has called us to do, but we can't do it without each other. And the gift of Almighty God inspiring all of us to continue to fight the good fight and run the good race. And with that, I have on the line Adele. Hey, Adele, how are you? Good. Good to talk to you again.
Good. It's good to talk to you again, too.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are things?
Very good. I just want to let our listeners know, as I said earlier today, we have the beautiful Adele Finnegan. She is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania, and we're always blessed when she's able to take the time to come on and give us the good news. So welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm happy to be here.
So what's taking place? We've seen all these candidates, if you will, and we've been listening. Hopefully we have ears to hear and the will to act on the truth. And what's going on in down there at the Pro-Life Union office, down on the lines? You are in the trenches all the time, and we praise and thank God for you. And, of course, we're going to have the Night for Life coming up in February.
Yes, and I was going to mention that. Uh-huh. So I think the good news is that there's a few things on the Harrisburg front. House Bill 732 passed, mm-hmm. which is the abortion regulation bill.
Yeah.
And Governor Corbett signed that into law on the 22nd of December. So kind of without much fanfare, which was probably just as well.
Yeah.
So things are happening in a good way in the Corbett administration, and then, you know, other things in Harrisburg. I think there was a lot of corruption under the Rendell administration, and obviously it's taking a while. You know, we would love these things to happen overnight, but
right.
It takes a while to get us where we need to be. But we're really happy about that. Of course, the abortion industry is decrying any sort of regulation into their money-making machine. So, you know, you always know you've done a good thing when they're upset, I guess.
Yeah. So if you're not getting snags, you're not fishing. So
yeah,
I understand.
That's a great thing. We're really happy about that. And it was a lot of work, and it's credit is really should be given to all the pro-life groups in Harrisburg. And in a particular way, Mike McMonagle and John Stanton from the who are involved with the union and members of the union, but also, you know, leaders in the movement for such a long time, and then part of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Coalition.
Yeah.
Which does work in Harrisburg. So that's been really great. So we're happy about that. And then there's a few other things we'd like to see happen in Harrisburg, possibly a marriage amendment.
I hope so.
But I'm not sure where that will go. I'm sure a lot of people know that's a not necessarily a winning issue.
Yeah.
I think that the pro-life issue is winning. You know, a lot of Americans... It's easy to explain the humanity, not easy, but it's much easier to explain the humanity of the unborn child and explain the damage that abortion does to women. It's a little bit more challenging in our sort of sexually promiscuous times to explain why people of the same gender cannot enter into an arrangement together. It's sort of like, especially the younger generation has a hard time comprehending that. They see it as discrimination. Because the debate has been framed around discrimination instead of about the sanctity of marriage and the purpose of human sexuality. So I we'll see what happens with that. I think a lot of even people who are sympathetic to the pro-life cause don't quite understand the homosexual issue.
Yes.
So we're going to have to all keep working on that, you know, not just in Harrisburg, but in our own families and in our own church, I think.
Right.
And then the other piece of really great news that, you know, I'm only on for a half hour today, so I did want to share this with everyone. I think for probably about 2 years, we've been talking about the need for a pregnancy center in Philadelphia, for a place where people could go and get the counseling and information and support they need.
Yeah.
And so through the efforts of the Legacy of Life Foundation and the Pro-Life Union, this new center has opened up in Philly and Center City.
Awesome.
And it's really just amazing to see how God is already working there. And there's been, we're doing billboards throughout southeastern PA. People probably might see them on different parts of Philadelphia. It's pregnant, considering abortion. And women are directed to call the pregnancy hotline that the Pro-Life Union has the honor of answering. And, those women, when we encounter them, we encourage them to go talk to a counselor before they make any final decision.
Right.
And we try not to politicize the issue, and I think a lot of times it's hard for pro-life people to understand that because it all becomes very political. You know, what candidate, what person.
Right.
That's all part of this. But when you're talking about a young woman in trouble who's facing an unexpected pregnancy, who doesn't have any support, she really needs to go and talk to someone that isn't going to get into her, you know, is going to meet her where she is.
Yeah.
And address the needs that she has. So we're blessed that the Bucks County Women's Center has been open for the last few years.
Yes.
Now that there's another location in Philly. And because of the billboards, we've already been able to direct about 4 women to the center.
Oh, awesome.
And they've only been open for a few weeks. And one of those women has already had a change of heart. So, and then another one as well, too.
Where's the new one located?
It's right in Center City.
Perfect.
So we're really, we have a fabulous alternatives network.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of different organizations that are Birthright and Chester County Women's Services and A Baby's Breath that are there, you know, for women.
Right.
I think the Legacy of Life Foundation, what they've been able to do at the Bucks County Center and now the Philadelphia Center, is kind of take the concept of a pregnancy center and really call it what it is, which is a women's center.
Right.
So we're taking back the name.
Good.
The idea of a women's center, and we're saying that women deserve to be empowered with truth about their reproductive health and about the damage that abortion can do and about the humanity of their unborn child. And then also they need to see an ultrasound. You know, they need to be able to go to a doctor that's going to do that, you know, help them if they need that. So the other thing is, a lot of pregnancy centers tend to, maybe they'll have a part-time director and things like that because of funding issues.
Yeah.
But really you need a full-time person. It's sort of, I guess I can use the analogy here with the King's Men, you know?
Yeah.
That Mark and Damien have done all this, you know, a lot of people think of this as work that can be done on the just part-time.
Yeah.
Like fight pornography part-time and have your full-time job.
Yeah,
you know,
that
be something
happen.
Else that you're bringing in money and things like that. But the reality is, if we're going to fight these industries that are really dedicated to corrupting young people and then changing our morality, we really need to make the sacrifices to pay full-time directors, you know, full-time people to get involved in this work. So I think, like, one of the big reasons that the King's Men has been successful in defending women and defending the family and defending people against pornography is because they have full-time people there.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And I think sometimes pregnancy centers think, oh, well, you know, if we just talk to a girl and we can just kind of explain it to her and we'll just do that, you know, between 10 and 1 when we have a volunteer here. That doesn't really work because women have they're working, they have different schedules, you know, sometimes they're trying to get away from their parents or their boyfriend so they can sit down and talk to someone. So to the credit of the Legacy of Life Foundation and the two centers, and with the support of places like the Pro-Life Union and all of the people that support us, and I mean, this is no small task. This is an enormous financial responsibility to rent a place in Philadelphia, in Center City, to keep it open, to staff it, to have volunteers. And, you know, we've really, everything's been done in a very inexpensive way. People have volunteered their time and their talent to get this center open, just like the one in Bucks County. But it's still a cost. I think rent is a big thing that people sometimes forget.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, oh, well, why do you have to be in Center City? You know, you can have a place out in so-and-so or something. And the reality is I have the abortion statistics in front of me. There were 17,000 abortions in Philadelphia. In 2010, this report just came out. So in Philadelphia County, there was 17,000 abortions.
Right in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have to be there. If we really want to take this on, that's where we need to be.
Right. And now that you're open, do you staff a full-time so that anybody...
There is a full-time client services director, and then Marie Josephs is the executive director of those centers. Yeah.
Awesome. Right. Well... God bless all those who gave of their time, their energy, and their talents, and their tithing, because, as you said, it is a huge undertaking. I'm just going to step out here a little. I mean, believe me, in these economic times, nobody's more aware than keeping the gospel of life and the message of the gospels on the air than myself, and I know what it takes. I know with all our overhead, with our building and all of that. I'm still going to ask people, if you're listening today, I'm going to ask you from my heart to each of your hearts. Maybe you can't give a lot. Maybe you can. I'm going to ask you, please, to make a donation to show how important this work is in your life as somebody that is pro-life. And many times, you know, we feel people can't come down to the march or for one reason. There's a lot of good reasons they can't. Maybe they can't partake in a lot of different events. But one thing we can do, and that is send in a donation for this magnificent work that's being done in the name of life. These people are the voice for those that have no voice, the most vulnerable among us, the preborn child.
And I think that you're so sweet and generous to do that, Kathleen. I think that everyone is called to, or their heart moves them, or God moves them to give or support a different ministry.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they overlap. There are certain things I support. And,
yeah.
And there's only a certain amount of money that people can give. And so then there's prayer and being involved in that. And I would, especially because there was a girl actually that went into this center in Philadelphia today that called the hotline last week. And she was she was abortion-minded. And mm-hmm. I was able to give out this number for the pregnancy center in Philly. And she got an appointment for Tuesday. For today, and hopefully she's going to find the resources she needs so she can really consider what she's considering doing, think about it,
yeah.
and maybe have a change of heart. And that takes a lot of prayer and sacrifice and things. But I do, sometimes it's challenging, and I understand this, for people to recognize, you know, they kind of want every ministry to do everything without on a volunteer basis.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the pro-life union, like, we're so blessed. You know, I'm really the only paid person. Everyone else does everything on a volunteer basis.
Right.
And I'm so blessed to be able to do this work, and people allow me to do it. But a lot of what the pro-life union can do can be done on a volunteer basis.
Yes.
You know, we ask people to go to vigils and, you know, do mailings and things like that. But when you're talking about, you know, helping women who are in an absolute crisis,
yeah,
you know, you need a full-time person there that's and you need someone to train the volunteers. And this is really going to be a volunteer-based ministry. There'll be very few paid people,
mm-hmm.
you know, through
right.
the Legacy of Life Foundation and stuff. But honestly, to be able to staff a center, and it's really necessary. And I think everyone has to think about that when they're thinking about, you know, what I want to give to. Think about, you know, some organizations are dedicated just to helping women who've already chosen life.
Right.
Catholic Social Services is one of those that, like, I always have to give a shout-out to.
Sure.
Catholic Social Services down in Southwest Philly, their pregnant and parenting program, they do so much for women who have chosen life. They don't necessarily talk, you know, they're not necessarily engaging in daily conversations with women who are considering abortion. Most of the time they see women who have already had a change of heart. And with the work that they do, their social workers do, is just amazing. Parenting classes and everything. And so some people really feel like that's who they're supposed to give money to, and they should continue to do that.
Right.
But for those people who feel compelled to reach out to women who are, you know, really broken and very much considering abortion, then people should consider, I think, looking into the Legacy of Life Foundation and looking into these two women's centers and seeing if that's where you're meant to, like, be a part of it.
Right, right.
Be a part of that work, you know, through the prayer ministry, through volunteer, you know, they have hotlines. There's so much stuff that goes into it. But I think that's kind of where everyone just needs to think. And, you know, people don't like the word accountability too much, but I think in the last few years we've seen, like, why that's so important. So but I couldn't be more, I'm just, like, amazed at the miracle.
And it is a miracle.
Place, so and I was thinking when I was leaving the office today, and I grabbed the abortion report, so people can find this report from the state on the Pennsylvania Health Statistics, Pennsylvania Health Department. We'll post it on our website.
Okay.
Eventually. But on the Pennsylvania Department of Health puts out the abortion statistics, and the latest ones are the 2010 statistics. And the numbers are really, in our area, Bucks County, it's 1,189 abortions.
Wow.
Chester County, 964. Delaware County, 1,749. So Montgomery, 1,706. And Philadelphia, 14,731 babies were killed by abortion. So
we
really have to consider, you know, that number and what we need to do to stop that.
Yeah.
I think one of the most striking numbers to me actually was the ages.
What is the average age?
Well, the highest rate is girls between the age of 20 and 24.
Really?
Which seems a little bit surprising, you know?
Yeah.
But the two numbers that struck me, one is that for women 40 and over, there was 1,140 abortions in our state, which
wow.
you just, like, have to shudder when you think about
yeah.
the fact that a lot of them were probably, maybe they got a prenatal diagnosis that scared them.
Yeah.
And then just that someone would be blessed with a baby Because the vast majority of them were at 8 weeks or less. So that you would be blessed with a baby so late in life, you know, later in life. And to not be just thrilled at that is so tragic, you know. And then 190 abortions performed on girls 15 and under.
My gosh.
So, and that number is striking because, well, they're not supposed to be.
Right.
A lot of them, I think it was like 8 or 9 girls, 12. Yeah, it was 6 girls, 12 and under, had abortions.
Mother of God.
In our state.
Well, you know, I just...
Yeah, it's horrific. And then people should call the governor and their local reps and say, you know, is somebody prosecuting the 12 and under, every person that was the father of those kids?
Right.
Those 6 men should be in jail for rape.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because at 12 and under, it's illegal to have sex in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
And the chances are that the men were much older.
Yeah.
And there was probably could be abuse, too.
Yeah.
13, there was 41 abortions on girls 13 years old. And 14 years old, 143.
You know, those statistics are staggering. And that's what's so good to have, you know, someone like yourself, Adele, that has, as you said, that you love the work you do and that God has given you, you know, the ability to be able to have that kind of a job where you can be a loud voice, because a lot of people don't know these statistics. And if it wasn't for somebody like you on the air, particularly a lot of people don't go into websites and go into the government, but when they hear it, it's a sobering fact that sometimes can stir others into making some kind of a decision to give of their time or their talent or their tithing, where maybe they would never have even considered it before. So I praise and thank God for the work that you and people like you are doing. May God continue to bless your work abundantly.
Oh, well, same for you, Kathleen. So you give us a forum to share this news. And you know what? The websites, it's always a little bit like it's a little bit challenging to figure out, you know, where these numbers are, because I don't think the state necessarily wants to promote these numbers.
Right.
But I do think it is really important, especially those numbers for younger girls.
Oh, yeah.
And then on the flip side, for those of us who are in our 40s, you know, that we have friends and we think, my gosh, they would be thrilled if they were having a baby.
Right.
And in your family and in your neighborhood, you think, oh, my gosh, they're not at risk for abortion at all. And, you know, there was, you know, over 1,000 women in our state, probably in our neighborhoods, that found out they were pregnant at 42 years old and decided they didn't want to have a baby then.
Yeah.
And they were married and they had other kids. And I just, whenever I hear stuff like that, I think about the fact that how many of my friends, their mothers had them when they were in their 40s.
Yeah. Oh, my own son.
Yeah.
Christopher, I mean, they told me, you know, this is another thing, you know, that I think needs to get out, particularly because they're done so early on, these testings nowadays. But anyway, I was very ill and sick with all my pregnancies. And when I was in the hospital, they badgered me to have an abortion when I was pregnant with Christopher, who was our last child, because my husband died. But I was in my 40s, and I can honestly tell you this. They come to you, you're under enough stress as it is because you're so sick and you're in the hospital. And yet, they told me he was not a viable pregnancy, that I was so sick. And here, he was 10 pound, 14 ounce, beautiful baby boy who fights for life himself today.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to remember, a lot of people will make a decision based on what they're told at the moment, and sometimes out of fear or anxiety, and they really should take that time to take it in, listen to what they're saying, but also pray about it and bring it to the Lord.
And I just think for those of us, I just think that it's such a my sister just had her 10th, and I think she was 41 when she delivered. And to think about the fact that it's such a good example, first of all, that she did that, because here she has this beautiful baby and things like that, and she was open to life. But there's probably so many people, For some reason, the number just really stuck in my head, and I'm sure it's because I'm a little bit older, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, to be blessed with a baby at that age, you know, in your 40s, and to not be so grateful. What a tragedy. And a lot of that is fear, and a lot of that is our culture saying, you know, you have your babies between 30 and 36, and that's it. And, you know, if you're too young, you shouldn't have them. If you're too old, you shouldn't have them. And there's just, like, it's such a sad number.
Yeah.
You know, and what those children would have been to their friends and their family, and that these women that are in our neighborhoods that we're friends with, that are maybe in our parish.
That's right.
And they probably never told anyone, and some of them maybe never even told their husbands.
Yep.
And they're carrying around this burden, and it's up to us to always be, I think, that voice for life.
Yeah.
And that voice for the unborn, that voice for women, and that voice for God's mercy.
Yeah, we have to remember that too. You know, let's not get so caught up in a cause that we forget the very cause we're fighting for is life. And God is the author of all life, of course, and He is all merciful. And we have to be able to share that mercy. We have to be willing to be understanding and be open to what someone else might be going through.
Yeah, and I think that any time we talk about abortion, and I do this for a living, so it's probably a little bit more second nature to me. But to speak about it, to not politicize it when you're not having a political discussion about it.
Yeah.
And to speak about, like I always say to people, the two things, the humanity of the unborn child, the dignity of every human person, and the damage that abortion does, and that women deserve better than that.
Yeah.
And whenever you frame it, you know, that if that's always kind of the first thing you say, that no matter what else you say, someone will probably remember that.
Right.
And that person who maybe is wounded or hurt or even pregnant then, they might turn to you and say, what do I do? I'm so scared. My doctor told me this, or we thought we were done. I mean, there's just so many things that people can say.
Yeah.
So I just, those numbers really struck out to me, and there must be a reason for it. So I don't know if someone's listening out there that's in their 40s and thinking, what should I do? But, you know, life is always the right choice,
yeah.
You know?
I remember, and of course, Ronald Reagan at one point even said for all of us, I mean, made a statement that I think freedom prospers when religion is vibrant and the role of law under God is acknowledged, and it's so true. We have to consider, and of course we have to confront the culture of death, because it is poisonous. However, we have to confront it the way Jesus would confront it, and that's with love and mercy. Look what He did with the woman at the well. She turned out to be one of the greatest evangelists ever. So we too have to speak of God's infinite love and mercy, and there's
that's
a big part.
Yeah, His mercy is so powerful.
Yeah.
And the other side really plays on a sort of a vengeful God.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to kind of get caught up in that, you know?
I agree.
And because you don't want to lose sight if there's consequences to our actions and things. So
of course not.
You know, it's a balancing act. And that's why I say, if you speak on behalf of the child and you speak on behalf of a woman in need, you usually can't go wrong.
Right.
So.
Well, I know we're going to go on our break, so I wanted to thank you once again for your time. And
well, you can, everyone can pray for her. I have a client that changed her mind. I think I probably talked to you about it before, about a year and
a half
ago.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday night, she's taking an RCIA class.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so she has three children. She's only about 21 years old. She was from Africa and lived in a camp in Africa, and there's a long story behind it, but she has these three beautiful kids, and so I think they're hopefully going to be baptized.
Were they the triplets?
No, they were not the triplets.
Okay.
They were these. This was just a really sweet girl that called the hotline, and I had the very great privilege of talking to her, and we just kind of, you know, she was kind of very open to Catholicism, I suppose.
Right.
And her baby went in utero was quite sick, and they thought the baby might die shortly after birth, which ended up kind of causing me to talk to her about baptism probably, you know, prior to a time that I wouldn't,
right.
You know. And most of the women that I've worked with, frankly, are baptized, and they would baptize their kids.
Yeah.
Just because they're Christian. But she had such a tumultuous life, I guess, and I don't think she's ever been baptized because she was in a camp, and she's from Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's just had this crazy life, but she's taking classes over at Our Lady Lourdes, so I pick her up on Tuesday night, so that's why I have to... It's been a little dicey for me to get on the show, but I'm so glad that I got a chance to talk to you today. And everyone can say a little prayer for my client. And I know you will, Kathleen.
Absolutely.
You're that kind of person. So.
Well, thank you, darling. God bless you, and know that you're actually in our prayers every day as part of this ministry.
Oh, thanks, Kathleen.
Praise
it's always
work.
Good. So good to hear your voice.
All right. God bless you.
Okay. I'll
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Take care.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the half-hour mark. Please don't go away. I'll give you my phone number if you want to call in about anything that we just discussed or if you want to comment about anything else. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or you can dial toll-free anywhere else. 1-888-343-2488. Adele had to leave us today, but I just wanted to talk a little bit. We just had the beautiful memorial remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. and what a wonderful man he was, and how he was a man for just stood by his beliefs to voice them, whether it was communion or inconvenient, even putting his own life on the line many times. So we praise and thank God for people like him. We praise and thank God that people like Adele that are willing to put themselves out there, that are willing to stand for what they believe. You know, if we don't stand for our beliefs, if we really don't stand firm, if we don't make a stand, we'll fall for anything. So remember that. We need to make a stand. We have to stand for the truth, or we literally will fall for anything. We will be deceived. And many times it's well after, it's way too late. So my brothers and sisters, I just want to share something. There's a wonderful woman. I'm sure you know her. And of course, she is Dr. King's niece, Alveda King. And I just want to share a little bit of an article that she wrote. And I think it's for all of you out there listening. Take the words to heart. I'm just going to take excerpts out of it. Because the bottom line is we need to vote for life. I mean, God himself, through the scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the living word of God, says from the very beginning, I place before you life and death. I call you to choose life that you might live. And so that comes, that we are one nation under God, even if others want to try to leave God out of it. One nation under God, that's who we are. And God created us all, every single one of us, equal, regardless of our skin color or our background. And because he did, we should be more aware of that and stand for the truths that we were all children of the Most High God, sons and daughters of God. I want to share a little excerpt from this article because I didn't even know I was going to do this today. I just happened to be thinking about it, pulled it up. And when I came across it, I thought maybe you'd be interested as well, and I hope you are. And it is from, as I said, from Dr. King's niece, Alveda King. And these are just some excerpts. She's first off, she says, "Friends, this seems unbelievable, but most likely it's very true. Sad to say that many will believe that because I was very supportive of my friend Herman Cain when he was running for president, and now I'm off the political scene, that I was helping Mr. Cain because he is black." Now, this is Alveda King writing this. And she's sad that many people will believe that that's why she was helping him, was because he was black and because she's black. She goes on to say, "If I was going to support a candidate because of skin color, I would have been on President Obama's campaign team. I think everyone knows I was not part of the Obama candidacy. Nothing personal, Mr. President. I just don't agree with your policies that support the Planned Parenthood agenda. She goes on to say, listen, friends, I'm no longer political, period. She goes on to say that at one point in 2008, she backed these different candidates, Mike Huckabee, Sam Brownback, and she said, during this run, as I was praying, I felt the Lord gave me a word. And this was what she said, I received a word that I was to stop endorsing and to start praying. So I left the political train and started praying. And she goes on to say she was supporting a friend. He claimed he wasn't political. He was just a man that believed in he could make a difference. And so she, you know, she certainly threw her support behind him because she's friends with him and his wife. But she said even at that, she never endorsed him, although she considered a blessing to stand there as a true friend of his. She goes on to say, as to racism and skin color is like window dressing, with the house being the spirit and soul of the person. The body's temporal. The spirit and the soul are not. So we are one human race. And skin color is part of our earthly ethnic ID. We fight too much over skin color. She uses this quote from Acts. And God has made of one blood. Listen to this again. This is Acts 17 verse 26 says, and God has made of one blood all nations of people to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the time before appointed. So why are we as one human race fighting about skin color so much, she said. It is a trick of the devil. It is a trick of the devil, people. So let's move ahead to brotherly and sisterly love. Why don't we? My uncle Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said this, love is the most durable power in the world. This creative force so beautifully exemplified in the life of our Christ is the most potent instrument available in humankind's quest for peace and security. Wasn't that our Holy Father John Paul II? Didn't he make that statement when he when he made the statement about a civilization of love? We're called to love one another. And as Martin Luther King said, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said himself that that idea of love, so wonderful and powerful, that is what we need in our hearts, all of us. And this is the other thing. Who else says it? Jesus himself. Jesus says it best in Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Add a second. It's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On those two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. That's why I always say God's heart must be grieved when he sees Christians that can't even get along with each other, let alone the rest of the world. No wonder many people shake their head when they look at us as Christians. And they see that we fight amongst ourselves. And it is just the opposite of what God calls each of us to be when he says to each of us, he tells each and every one of us, in no uncertain terms, they will know we are Christians by our love. And they must look and shake their head and say they can't even love one another. It must grieve God's heart. I believe that with all my heart and soul. It must grieve God's heart. And it's certainly not a good witness. So I'm going to go back to her letter, and she says, so let's put the race and racism card to rest and be one human race in love with each other, God's way. And she says, why don't we? She closes with this. Choose your candidate, but make sure he's pro-life. And this I don't get. It says, Pinky, swear. So obviously she's trying to hit Pinky, whoever that is, with that question mark. So I hope Pinky's writing pro-life. And I hope each of us will vote pro-life. Not to endorse a specific candidate, but to endorse the person who has authentic record for voting for life. And once again, those excerpts were from a letter from Alveda King. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she is also a leading pro-life voice. And my brothers and sisters, she formerly had two abortions herself before she had a tremendous faith conversion. And now she speaks all over, and she is a speaker and a representative of the educational outreach of Priests for Life and the Silent No More Network. I encourage everybody on the 23rd of March, on the 23rd of January to march for life. Maybe you don't know how to go about that. If you go ask your pastor, he can tell you where there are buses leaving from, or one of your priest friends. You can go online, go on to Priest for Life, and get all the information you need about it. I will miss it this year. It's the first time in a while it's fallen on a Monday, and normally I won't be able to go. You heard Adele talk about the Kingsmen. My son-in-law Mark and my daughter Ryan Marie, who are the Kingsmen, along with Mark Damien and his wife, they're going to Poland. They're invited to speak in Poland, and so I will be with the children, and they don't get back till late Monday night, but I will be there in spirit because I will be praying from my heart for the success of this day to awaken in all peoples, the truth that God created each and every one of us equal, and that we have to remember that every life is precious. And remember to stand up and be a voice for those who have no voice. And how can we help? We can help by being those authentic witnesses, by loving as Christ loved, unconditionally. By loving and in our own certain way, in our own special way, to do what each one of us can do. By reaching out to other brothers and sisters who believe what we believe, regardless of the color of their skin. No racism. We are all part of the human race. So I want to encourage all our listeners out there, and I'll join her in that comment. Pick your candidate, but vote pro-choice. And she's asking for people to promise that they'll vote pro-life. Sorry. She's asking for everybody to make that choice. Choose your candidate, but vote pro-life. So we have about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to carry that on. I thought it was most interesting, especially with the fact that yesterday we celebrated such a great memorial to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And again, reading what he said about the magnificent power of love, it can do more than any other action we could do. Reach out in love, be authentic witnesses for love, and be in love with our God and in love with all those that he created to walk this earth with us. So just wanted to remind you of all that. I also want to remind everybody that on the first Friday, we will be gathered at St. Mary Magdalene Church over there in Media. Monsignor Ralph Chifo is the pastor over there. And as you know, he's my co-host every Thursday. We do the program together in this, I believe. We talk about the Catholic Catechism. We teach on it, as well as other topics that that we hold dear in our faith. So once again, please remember, without you, this radio apostolate cannot go on. We need your help to continue to stay on the air, to continue to preach and teach the teachings of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We're going to close with prayer, as we always do. And I'm going to ask today that that you join me in this prayer by just opening up your heart and your mind and your spirit to the living God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise and thank you for the gift of life. We praise and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you created each of us in your own likeness and image. Lord, we ask today that your word will go forth, touching and healing and binding up wounds, breaking all those things that hold people bound. For all those that are searching for truth and they're a little confused right now, they don't know which direction to go. Father, I ask that you would send their guardian angels to guide them and to lead them into the path that each one of them are called to walk, the journey of life. And life, Lord Jesus, consisting of the moment of conception until natural death. Father, I ask today that you would bless us. Bless our country, Lord. Bless all those who will vote in faith and hope and trust in you. We ask, Lord God, that you would bring this nation to the truth that we need to vote first and foremost for life. If we don't, this nation will eventually self-destruct. The economy will fall apart. But Father, it is only life and life alone that brings you into the world. Help us to love one another and be authentic witnesses to the truth that sets us all free, that Jesus Christ is Lord. My brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. And if you are suffering in any way because of sin, maybe you've had an abortion and maybe you've heard the program today and maybe that guilt has stayed within your heart, mind, and spirit. My brother and sister, go to the sacrament. Sacrament's an outward sign of God's grace. Go to the sacrament of confession and hear those words that the priest says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I absolve you from your sins. In Jesus' name he says it, not in his name. Please, none of us know the day or the hour. Let us all be prepared. May God bless you. And remember, you're never alone.